There's one guy I'm kind of particular to. I don't like him at all. His name was Charlie Darwin. Charles Darwin, he kind of claimed that we were related to... Oops. He thought we were evolved. He thought that was his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa. Or grandma, I'm not sure. And he died a miserable man. These people, the world thinks that they were amazing. A guy named John Lennon wrote a lot of music. I think we write better music than he ever did, by the way. John Lennon, he thought he was more famous than Jesus Christ until somebody shot him when he was 40 years old, killed him on the spot. All these guys were pretty amazing. The world thought they were the top and the best. But they weren't very wise. But there was one guy, King Solomon. God said he was the wisest man who ever lived, and we need to listen to what he learned, because he learned that true wisdom is different than anything we've ever figured out, anything that we've ever experienced, anything that anybody else has ever figured out. Father, as we bow our heads and pray tonight, would you speak to our hearts and help me help some kids tonight not make the same mistakes. I can talk about Adolf Hitler and we can go, I don't want to be like him. We can talk about John Lennon and Elvis Presley and some of these other people. There are plenty of modern, great people in the eyes of the world. But they're miserable. They hate life. Lord, I pray that as we learn about Solomon, as wise as he was, it wasn't until the end of his life when he finally figured out what true wisdom was. I pray we would listen to him this whole week. God, we need to learn from him because we're making the same mistakes. Would you help some kids to know there's no greater wisdom than to know your son, than to walk with Jesus, than to not know have all the answers, but to know someone who does, and to love him and to worship him. God, I pray that every child in this room would understand what it means to be born again and what it means to be truly wise. Bless our meetings this week, and especially starting tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. So King Solomon, who is this guy named Solomon? If you've got a book there, if you're a handbook, you got some things that you might want to fill in. He was the greatest king ever. King David was a pretty amazing guy. God said that David was a man after his own heart. But Solomon came along and was known worldwide. He became the richest man of all time. Hold on, come back here. He was the most powerful man. He was, you know how old he was when he became king? 18 years old. How many of you are 18 years old? Stand up here. Stand up. Stand up. Go ahead, Kathy. You can wish it. How many of you are 17 years old? Stand up. No, stand. Anybody else 17? Or somebody else? All right. How would you like to be king? I mean, of everything. How about, would you like to be king? Would you like to be king? You'd be next year, you'd be king, huh? All right, sit down. What was that? Okay, this was one powerful guy. One day, he's just minding his own business. Next day, he's king. He became known as the wisest man who ever lived. Now, what would you do if you got to be king or queen, Tatiana? What if you could be queen? What if you could do anything you wanted for as long as you wanted to do it? What if you could buy anything that you wanted? What would you buy? Oh, ice cream. You could buy the ice cream store. What would you do? Who would you marry if you could marry anybody you wanted to? Where could you live? What could you do? Listen what Solomon did. You're in Job. Go to the right. Go Psalms, then Proverbs, then a little book called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see what Solomon did here. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He's been king. He's looking back on his 40 years of being a king. And he looks back and he says, I remember when I did this. And I remember when I bought that. And I remember when I married her. Oh. Listen to what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now. I will prove thee. He's proving his heart with mirth. Mirth is happiness. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold,
This also is vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 2 now. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, that's craziness, like some of you do, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, that they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I built great things. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water. He doesn't have just one swimming pool. He had loads of swimming pools. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants. How many of you would like to have a servant in the morning would come into your room and bring you breakfast in bed? How many of you like? He got him servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions. I owned everything of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers. You know, he didn't have to have a radio. He didn't need an iPod. He just bought singers and said, sing, sing something. And they would sing for him. And the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great. Listen to him. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired. Oh, I like that. Oh, can I have that? Oh, how much did that cost? Never mind. I'll buy it anyway. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. This is what I was supposed to do, Jack. Sit up. Listen to what he did in all that. Whatever my eyes desired. But look in verse 11. Solomon ends up saying in verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought. All my houses. How many of you live in more than one house? You do not live in more than one house, do you? You have two houses? You have three? Just two. You have two houses. Okay, but you live them at the same time? No. But you do have two houses. That's pretty impressive. Not many of us are that well off. I'm glad to meet you. I've got a bill to give you. So no. Anyway, Solomon had houses coming in out of his ears. And on the labor, I looked on all the labor I had labored to do, and behold, watch this. All was, what's the next word in verse 11? All was vanity. Vanity means useless. Worthless. It was stupid. And vexation of spirit. It upset me. And there was no profit under the sun. Listen, he keeps going. He says all was, it was just empty. Look at verse 12. I turned myself, I'm sorry, run down to verse 17. Therefore, I hated what? This is a guy who owns everything. How many know how many wives he married? 700 women he married. You know what he said when he married all of them? I hate life. He was stupid. I hated life. That's the smartest man who ever lived, the wisest man who ever lived says, I hated life. Verse 17, therefore I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun, it's grievous, it's hard unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Verse 18, yea, I hated all my, he just said, I hated getting up in the morning, I hated fixing breakfast, I hated letting somebody else fix breakfast morning, I hated just breathing, I hated anything that took effort. I hated all my labor. This is a guy who could marry anybody he wanted to. He could drive any kind of car. He didn't have a car, but if he had a car, he could have driven any car he wanted. You know what? The richest people in the world are probably not happy at all. The most famous people in the world, whenever you see them off of the stage, you know what they're wearing? The darkest, biggest sunglasses ever. And they wear the hoodie, and they have the bodyguards, and they hate people, and they hate life. If you could ever read the biographies of these singers and movie stars, they hate life. They're depressed. Oh, but on the stage, oh, but on the films, they look so happy. It's an act. Solomon. He's one unhappy, spoiled brat. And this week we want to learn from that one unhappy, spoiled brat. Because we need to learn that Solomon started off pretty good. Some of you actually... Raise your hand if your mom or dad are saved. Let me see. How many of you got saved, mom or dad? Amen. Amen. You already started off. You already have your mom and dad teaching you the Bible, telling you what's right and wrong. Amen. Solomon started off right. He had a dad who tried to teach him right. What was Solomon's dad's name? David. He had a good dad, a godly dad. Solomon started off right. How did he end up? Miserable. How great was this guy's wisdom? I mean, this guy was the greatest author of the day. He just wrote and wrote. He studied. He discovered. It was amazing. I think Einstein would have just been gobsmacked being able to talk to Solomon. Solomon would have done circles around him. What's the difference between wisdom of this world and the wisdom that's of heaven? We're going to learn that this week. I want you to see, when you see Solomon in here in Ecclesiastes, he used all his wisdom for things in this world, and he developed some call a worldly wisdom, and we're going to learn what it do for him. It didn't do much. We're going to find out what happened to the wisest, smartest man who ever lived. Here's a fact. Did you know when David died, everybody was sad? I mean, the whole country, they couldn't work. They were grieving. They were sad that King David was dead. You know, when Solomon died, nobody shed a tear. That's kind of sad. I mean, when I die, I want somebody to miss me. But nobody missed Solomon. Where did he go wrong? You know, God wrote a Bible so that I could learn from his mistakes. Amen? You want to keep repeating the same stupid mistakes that other people do? Then keep your Bible closed and don't learn nothing. But if you want to go, you know what? I'd like to be smarter than Solomon. Then let's read this week about him. Let's learn what God wants to show us. Because we're going to learn what wisdom is. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 55. You're in Ecclesiastes. Keep going. A few more pages and you'll hit Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. For my thoughts, God is talking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. Question, how high is the moon? Could you touch it and tickle it? That's just the moon. Is there stuff higher than the moon? All right. My thoughts, my wisdom, God says my thoughts are higher than all of everything in heaven. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. So, you know what? I think I'm pretty smart. How much smarter is he? I think I'm pretty wise, you know? How much wiser is he? So the wisdom of this world and the wisdom from above, which one's greater? The wisdom from above. All right. What is wisdom? Let me give you a simple definition. What is wisdom?
It's knowing what is the right thing to do and how to do it well. Wisdom is knowing what's right to do and then do it well. That is wisdom. You ever go to maybe your dad fixes the car or whatever, and he pops the bonnet, and you're out of oil. And a neighbor comes up and says, I had that problem last week. And he hands him a hammer. Would it be very smart, would it be very wise to use a hammer to fix an engine that doesn't have any oil? No. No. Wisdom is knowing what's the right thing to do and then doing it well. I don't know how to do everything, do you? That's why I ask God for wisdom. Lord, show me how to do something and how to do it right and how to do it well. That's wisdom. Now, there are two kinds of wisdom, because the world will tell you how to do something. The world will say, this is how you do it. This is how you find a girlfriend. This is what you do on the weekend. This is how you have happiness. Is that who you trust, your friends? That's the wisdom of this world. Remember, how much higher is God's wisdom? Higher than the heavens. I think I'll listen to God instead of my friends. See, the world has a way of doing things, and they think they're doing great. But God has a way that is far better. God has a way that is far, far better. You know what the world's way of doing things ends up with? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, the way God has things, it ends up in eternal life. Death, life. Which one should I choose? Pretty simple choice. Who are wise people in God's eyes? Do you know who are God? Go to Matthew chapter 2. You're in Isaiah, go all the way to the New Testament, find Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Look in verse 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 2. Guys are doing great. Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came what kind of guys? Wise men from the east of Jerusalem saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, who are wise people in God's eyes? Those people who seek Christ. Why were these guys so wise? Why does God record them as wise men who came from the east? What did they come for? Were they looking for shopping? Huh? They wanted to meet Jesus, didn't they? Wise men, wise women, wise boys and girls want to find Jesus. Now, you don't find him in a building. You don't find him in a field. You know where you find him? You find him in a quiet time where you talk to him. Nobody else is around. And you say, Lord, I'd like to know you. And then you open your Bible and you'll start reading and you'll just, he's right there. Everything that can be known about him until we get to heaven is right in your Bible. And you can know him. They went looking for the baby Jesus. Did they find him? What'd they do when they found him? They worshipped him. Wise people find Christ as if he's the greatest treasure of all. They brought gold to him because gold to them was not nearly as worth it as Jesus was. Second, people that are wise in God's eyes are Proverbs. Go back to the middle of your Bible, find Proverbs chapter 11. They are people who win souls. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Cool. Say, Lord, what's a wise person? Someone who yearns to talk to people about their soul, not just talk to them about the World Cup. I mean, you guys know who won the World Cup last night, don't you? Yeah, Germany. Everybody knows that. But does everybody know how to get saved?
Huh, everybody knows Germany won. Everybody knows that Argentina played terrible last night. Everybody knows about all the different games. They know about America playing. They know about Brazil not making it and falling out. But not everybody knows about how to be born again, how to get into heaven. You know, somebody who cares more about souls than about soccer is a wise person. Amen. Third kind of person that is wise in God's eyes is someone who obeys Jesus Christ and builds all their life on His Word. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, whatever Jesus says, and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise, what? A wise man which built his house upon a rock. Anybody know what happens to that house on the rock? It keeps standing. Another guy says, oh, I don't like rocks. They're kind of hard. I'd have to climb up. I like the sand. It's nice and soft. So I'm going to build my house right here. You built your house on the rock. I built my house here. Both of them have beautiful houses, don't they? But then the storm comes. House on the sand goes flat. The house on the rock stood firm. And Jesus said, you build your life on what I teach, and your life's built upon a rock. You build it on what the world teaches, and it's like building on the sand. A wise person builds their life. What does that mean? Learns how to live from that little book you're holding in your hand. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. What's a wise person in God's eyes? Don't worry about what I think is wise. I may think you're pretty cool. I may laugh at you. I may think, oh man, he's a funny guy. Wow, that was a funny thing. That was a wise thing that he did. Or, you know who you have to impress? God. One of these days you're going to stand before Him. You better become wise before you meet Him. A wise person is someone who takes good care of God's business. You know what I'm doing this week? Now, you guys are here and you're having fun. But you know what I get to do? I get to do His will. I got to find out 34 years ago that God wanted me to teach boys and girls, men and women, that book right there that you hold in your hand. I get to be involved in God's business. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. 24:45. Who then is a faithful and, well, the next two words, say them real loud. Wise steward. Servant, sorry. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Well, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Jesus is going to come back one of these days. Maybe it'll be tonight. If you hear a very loud trumpet, and if I disappear, and you're still here, you better realize, I'm gone. I'm going home. Not because the bus left, because Jesus came and got me. I'm going up in the rapture. I hope you get to hear that trumpet and go with me. But you must be saved, you must be born again. But until that day, I need to be faithful doing what God wants me to do. Not what my friends want me to do. I remember my friends convinced me to go into the shop and steal something. I remember how much my hands were sweating. I remember panicking. I remember my friends wanting me to do some stupid things. I was 8 years old. I had a brand new bike. My friend said, let's go jump a hole. I went, cool. I had this much brain. You go first, Craig. Okay. They built this ramp on wood. It was no hole. It was a ravine. It was a canyon. The canyon was, I'd say, 8 feet from here to there. We had this ramp. I didn't even look over to see how far it was. My friend said, you go first. I'm okay. Broke my bike. Should have broke my neck. My friends were looking out for me, and I was not smart enough to know. You know, I can't emphasize enough.
Your friends want to have a good laugh on you. They want to have a good laugh at your expense. You know what you need? You need to worry about what he wants you to do. He'll never ask you to do something stupid. He'll never ask you to do something that'll end up hurting you. I mean, the devil may hurt you, the world may hurt you, but he never hurts you. Find out what he wants you to do and then be faithful at it. And one of these days he'll say, let me introduce everybody up in heaven to a wise servant, a faithful and wise servant. I want to hear that. Some of us adults want to hear that. I hope every kid does. One more. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Right after the book of Hebrews, if you can find that in the New Testament, almost to the end. And James chapter 3. In verse 13. James 3, 13. James 3, 13. Who is a wise man? Huh, that's a good question. And endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness. It's not showing off. Just being quiet about your wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying. What's envy? Somebody raise your hand and tell me what envy is for 100 points. Yes, sir? It's looking at something and wanting what somebody else has. Now, envy is you want what somebody else has, but you're not happy until you get it. All right, now give him 100 points. What team are you on? Blue team, okay. If you have bitter envying and strife, what's strife? Somebody raise your hand and tell me what strife is for 100 points. Yes, sir. No, nope, it's not hard work. Strive is to strive, but what are you going to say, Dean? Not trouble. Struggle. No, not here, not here. Yes, sir? Strife. Nope, nope. Katie Ann. Grief? Is that what you said? Huh? No. Yes, sir? Good, good. If you end up envying one another and fighting among one another, you're not wise. But if you have got a quiet mouth and you just, man, just get excited and you clean and you work hard and you just serve God at camp or at home, you're a wise boy or a wise girl. You conquer the attitude and God says, good guy. Amen. These are the kind of people that God calls wise. Here's my invitation. These are what God wants to change us all into this week. It's called transformation. How many of you know what a butterfly is? What was a butterfly before it became a butterfly? A caterpillar. You know what that is? A worm with legs. So he starts off kind of ugly, itchy, scratchy, and through transformation becomes a butterfly. You know, some of you are kind of itchy, scratchy. But this camp, you might be transformed if you'll pay attention and let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. But it begins with desire. You know, I think, how many of you want to have fun this week? One. How many of you want to have fun this week? Amen. Amen. Some people want, I can't wait till I'm 20 years old. Hey, wait. It ain't that great. Folks, listen. When you turn 18, 19, 20 years old, you say, I can do whatever I want. Remember Solomon. How many of you want to get some things right with God this week and say, you know what, it's been kind of hard. At home, I don't know how to do it. I hear it at church and I don't know how to do it. How many of you want to get some things right with God this week, be able to learn to pray, learn how to be soft again, learn how to be wise? Amen. How many of you want to have the greatest week in their lives this week? Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray.